listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, where God is true, man is sinful, and the church, well, it needs fixed.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us this week as Pastor Justin Johnson of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship answers your questions from the Bible. In today's episode, we'll learn why Jesus had to die, what he had to do with salvation in the Old Testament, and why there is no such thing as a New Testament Christian today. You can submit your questions directly from our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. In the meantime, stay with us to hear Pastor Justin Johnson answer today's questions from the perspective of the Bible, rightly divided.
You grew up in a Catholic church, but stopped when it started to interfere with the ballgame. When you got married, you started going to the Baptist church down the road because you needed a pastor to perform the ceremony. Now that you have children, you started going to a non-denominational church because they had a better basketball court. But now your wife attends a charismatic church, and you stay home listening to ESPN Radio. Maybe you've been there and done that with churches, hopping from one to the next. Maybe you've never settled down because church never really made sense to you, and you had doubts and questions that weren't ever answered by the pastor. Well, you've never been to Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship. We teach Mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Rite Division. We don't pass a collection plate, we don't beg for money, we don't jump the pew, and we don't spend all morning singing and waving our hands at the clouds. Instead, we give an entire hour each Sunday morning to address your questions about the Bible. We take God's Word and actually apply it to current events, and we don't shy away from talking about the controversies. This is what you'll find at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship at 6281 South, 900 West, Swayze, Indiana. You're welcome to come out and study with us and get your questions answered at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning, or come out on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock where we study the Bible verse by verse, or listen to us online at graceambassadors.com.
And it's yours free!
Yay!
With any size donation. It's free if you buy one at regular price. It's free for the first month. It's free when you sign up for our... It's buy one, get one.
Feel like you're being baited every time you turn around?
Uh-huh.
It seems like there's always a catch if you don't read the fine print. You can't believe everyone when they say something's free, but you should believe me when I tell you about two free things I want you to have today. Why believe me? Because I don't get any money from you receiving these free gifts. We have no paid sponsors. There are no commercials on Grace Ambassadors Radio. We're not trying to sell you anything. Everything in this program is already paid for in full. Which brings me to the first gift, your salvation. Salvation is free because Christ has already paid for it by dying on the cross for your sins. You can be certainly saved for free right where you sit by trusting Christ's payment for your sins. Trust his resurrection, and you can claim eternal life and salvation for free through Jesus Christ. The second thing for free that I want to give you is a free book called Start Rightly Dividing, and one copy is yours for free. No strings attached, no bait, no switch, just free. You just tell me where to send it. Or you can stop by if you want Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship. It's in Swayze, Indiana. Pick it up for yourself. All the books there are free. However you get it, it's totally free and completely paid for by Grace Ambassadors Radio, even the shipping and handling. We won't ask you to sign up for anything, give anything. We won't ask you to attend anywhere. We won't even follow up to see if you liked it. It's just plain free. I know it's hard to believe what you hear on the radio, but I want you to know the privilege of having free salvation by learning it for yourself in the Bible Rightly Divided. Trust Jesus Christ, he paid for your sins, and learn how to start rightly dividing by claiming your free book. Write me at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, or visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com.
So our first question this week comes in, says, why did Jesus have to die?
Yeah, and this question has been asked to me a few times, and the first time I heard this question was on a radio program like the one we're on now, where a young caller called in, and he asked the Bible teacher, why did Jesus have to die? The Bible teacher, to my befuddlement, responded with, you don't need to concern yourself with that. You don't need to be thinking about these sorts of theological questions. And then he went on to explain that no one really knows why Jesus had to die, and Jesus died as an example to us and this sort of thing. And really, that's such an absurd answer to the question, why did Jesus have to die? Because this is the central teaching of Christianity. Why did Jesus have to die? This question is a good question because it really hits to why Christians talk about the cross, or why they have a cross, and why they talk about Jesus' death and his blood. But really, the core teaching of Christianity is that we cannot present ourselves to God with any sort of merit for eternal life, for forgiveness, for righteousness' sake. We as people, as human beings, are imperfect, are unrighteous before a perfect and holy God. And so by any holy standard, we don't deserve salvation. And so when God sent Jesus Christ, him being God himself in the flesh, he came to die on purpose as a sacrifice, as a payment, a substitutionary atonement is what theologians call it, for humanity. And so why did Jesus have to die? The simple answer is without his death, we wouldn't be saved. There would be no way for us to receive eternal life, forgiveness, righteousness, peace, joy forever without the death of Jesus Christ. And so his death was necessary for our salvation. And so you'll hear some teachers and some theologians, they'll say, well, his death was an example for the rest of us. And so good men die for their friends, or good men die for their country, or good men die for others and sacrifice themselves for others. And this is the example. And surely we learn this sort of example from Jesus. But that, if that was all it was an example, then we can look to the young men and women who die in our wars as examples. Or we can look to the many people who have sacrificed for their family as examples, our fathers, for example. And yet that's not only what Jesus was. Jesus wasn't just an example. He was God in the flesh and the only acceptable sacrifice, payment for the sins of the world. Him being fully man, God counted him worthy as a replacement for the rest of us. And because he was God, he was sinless and perfect. And so in this way, Jesus had to die for our salvation. And so when I heard this question years ago on the radio, I was just stunned of that sort of answer. So we're starting our episode today with this question for a couple reasons. One, because it deals with salvation. But secondly, just to point out, there are no dumb questions. And I will never respond to a question with, well, you shouldn't concern yourself about these issues because they're not something right now you need to concern yourself with. There are questions that we don't know the answers to. There are questions that we don't have a dogmatic position on. But to say that, you know, your question, you shouldn't be asking questions, is not what we're about. And so that's why we do question and answers here on Grace Ambassadors Radio. And the same reason why we, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship, we do the same thing. We provide time for you to ask your questions about the Bible. Maybe I can just briefly talk on that. Christians have questions, and this is acceptable. You don't get saved as a Christian and immediately know all the answers. There are some Christians that would like to pretend they do, but none of us do. And of course, questions are good. Without questions, you don't learn anything. When you ask questions of religion, of the Bible, of God, we need to search these things out. And so the difference between Grace Ambassadors Radio, perhaps, and other places that try to answer your questions is simply that we get our answers from the Scripture. We try to do that here. We believe every word of the Bible is literally God's word, and so therefore is a standard of truth. And so when we have questions about God, what he's doing and what he's done, we can come to the Scripture, to the Holy Bible, and we can get an answer from it and know that there's not a mistake in that. We may be mistaken, but it's not. So that's the basis upon which we answer our questions. So I think that's sufficient for the first question.
Jesus shows up in the Bible over halfway through at the beginning of what they call the New Testament there. So where is Jesus in the Old Testament in regards to salvation?
Yeah, good question. Where is Jesus in the Old Testament in regards to salvation? This is an interesting question. It raises a lot of issues, and a lot of which we, again, deal with being a ministry and a church that talks about the Bible rightly divided and understands the different ministries that are performed by God's people throughout the Scripture. We understand and respect the differences in those messages. There are a lot of churches, a lot of people who teach that everything in the Bible is instructive and it is a command or instruction for us today to perform. And just on a simple example, that's not possible. I remember talking to someone at a fair before, and they came up to me and asked me, or they told me rather, that they did everything in the Bible. And I said, well, which part of the Bible do you obey? And he said, I obey everything in the Scripture. And apart from realizing that we're all sinners and we can't do that all the time, I gave him the benefit of the doubt that he understood that. But the fact that you can do everything in the Bible is simply impossible, because the Bible is a big book and it spans human history from beginning to end. And God has changed his instructions in the Scripture. And so what he tells one person to do, he may tell another person to do something different. Just like any other book of instruction, we have to understand the context and understand who God is speaking to and to whom. The Bible popularly is divided between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And many cultural Christians are familiar with this sort of division. There's an Old Testament and New Testament. And most Bibles have pages in them separating the Old Testament books and the New Testament books. We can deal with that maybe in another episode or something, but that's really a problem that these Bibles have that sort of division. It did not used to be when people understood more Bible doctrine and used the Bible as a tool that way. But nowadays, as people have become more ignorant of what the scriptural doctrine is on things, that becomes a hindrance because people tend to think, well, the New Testament is the only part of the Bible I need to obey, and the Old Testament we just discard and forget entirely. And this leads to a lot of wrong application, okay, not only because we need the rest of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And so we need all Scripture, both the Old and the New. And yet it's true that not every passage in the Scripture is yours. Not every promise in that book is yours. God made promises to other people. This is a big circumlocution from the question here, but the question is, where is Jesus in the Old Testament in regards to salvation? Again, people understand the New Testament portion of their Bible is where Jesus shows up, begins with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that's where his ministry was recorded 2,000 years ago. And so the question is Jesus in the Old Testament, or is he not there? Well, there's a couple ways to answer this. Number one is that Jesus is God. And so if Jesus is God, God is eternal, God is from everlasting to everlasting. So Jesus existed. God, the Son, the second person of the Godhead, existed from everlasting to everlasting. And so, quite frankly, Jesus was there. Every man in history who receives salvation from God does so through God's saving work in Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, Jesus Christ did not die until just 2,000 years ago in history. Before that, Jesus had not died. And so we just answered a question about Jesus' death. And without his death, you could not be saved. And so before then, how are people saved? This kind of deals with the question. Men were saved in the Old Testament by believing what God told them and following his instructions. Salvation comes always by God's grace through faith. And it's the content of that faith that changes. Faith is you hearing God's word and believing it. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so when you hear the word of God, you believe. This is where faith comes from. Without having words from God, without having something to believe, you do not have faith. And so, again, this is the preacher coming out of me, another tangent, because you could say that those who say they have blind faith, which is faith in I don't know what, say, what is their faith in? And they say, I don't know. Well, to say I don't know what your faith in is saying that you have no faith, because faith requires substance. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so it may not be scientific evidence in that things you repeatedly observe and test, but it's evidence in the fact that there are words, there's a substance to it. And so you have to have something you believe. And so when I ask someone, you are you saved? And they say, I have faith. And I say, faith in what? And they say, I don't know, I just have faith. Well, this is not faith, this is just ignorance is what that is. This is just hoping that there's something that will save you, not knowing what it is. So getting back to the issue here, in the Old Testament, how were people saved, or how could people be saved from sins? Well, they didn't know about Jesus. They had sacrifices that God told them to provide. They had laws in Israel for them to keep. If you were a Gentile, in Genesis 12:3, God said Gentiles could bless Israel, and then they would be blessed. And so under the Old Testament dispensation, the Old Testament environment, the way God operated with the world was through the nation of Israel, and all the other nations could be blessed through that nation Israel by blessing their God and blessing the God that gave them those instructions. And so the man of faith in the Old Testament would hear what God has said, that he would bless Israel and bless those that bless them, and would respond accordingly. You know, the man without faith would hear what God said and just ignore it and not perform it. And so how does Jesus play into that? Well, Jesus wasn't there in the Old Testament, and Jesus wasn't under that Old Testament law in the Old Testament books. He was born in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so Jesus' role in that is explained in Hebrews chapter 9 in verse 15 through 17, where it says that Jesus was a mediator of the New Testament by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions for the first testament. So all the sins that were committed in the Old Testament, God told him to offer sacrifices. But Hebrews 10:4 tells us the blood of bulls and goats, it's impossible. They cannot forgive sin. They cannot pay for sin. And so when Jesus came and he died for all of those past sins but for the actions of the men who offered the sacrifices according to faith. And so where is Jesus in the Old Testament in regards to salvation? Well, Jesus' death, again, was necessary for all of the people who lived under the Old Testament for their salvation. The only caveat to that, and this is a long answer to the question, the only caveat is that those people in the Old Testament did not know Jesus yet. He had not yet been made manifest. He had not been revealed. He hadn't become a man yet. So they didn't know. Their faith was not in him. Their faith was in God. Their faith was in God's promise to save, God's promise to forgive. And so by obeying God's instructions, by their faith in God's words, they would then be promised a salvation. And they would have to wait until they died to face God in judgment in order to know that they had that. So where is Jesus in the Old Testament in regards to salvation? Well, he plays an integral part to it. But you won't find in the Old Testament Jesus walking around, and you won't find in the Old Testament Jesus in his death on the cross preached for salvation. That's not anywhere in the Old Testament scriptures. But Jesus is definitely a part of that, and his death paid for the sins that were past.
You mentioned that Jesus's ministry on earth was as a mediator of the New Covenant or the New Testament. We've got a question here. I'll just read it from the questioner. It says, I have read your study about the New Covenant being with Israel and not with the rest of the world. I have never heard this before, and I have to say it makes a lot of sense. So that's kind of more of a statement than a question, but...
That's new to a lot of people, though, that the New Testament, the New Covenant, was for Israel. So I've been blabbering on about the Old Testament and how Jesus died for the sins of those that were under the Old Testament. And Hebrews explains to us that his death also was able to mediate or to dedicate this New Testament. And if you understand the book of Hebrews, you understand the New Testament, just like the Old Testament, was made with the nation of Israel. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8 makes that very clear, where in Hebrews it's explaining the better covenant, the more excellent ministry that Jesus, the Messiah, brought to the Hebrews. And it says, for finding fault with them, meaning finding fault with men under the first covenant, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, this is in New Testament scripture. This is in the book of Hebrews. This is written and inspired after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, after Jesus was alive and after Jesus died. And so in Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews is explaining this new covenant, which clearly says it's made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And what so many people do in so many churches is to say, well, that Israel is metaphor for the church. It spiritually is the church. And yet if we're to take that approach to Scripture, then we have to go back to all the places that mention Israel and insert the church there, which goes back to what we were saying earlier. That's why many people think every verse in the Bible is to them. But that really makes the Bible very unhelpful, because you have contradictory instructions at that point, you know, and things that don't describe the world today, or things that you are supposed to do that you can't. And so really leaving the words in the Bible as they say them makes the Bible make a lot more sense. So in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8, when he says he made the new covenant with the house of Israel, house of Judah, that's what I believe. That's what the Bible says. That's what I believe. He made the new covenant with Israel. Now, that raises the question for many Christians, well, if the New Testament, the new covenant, is for Israel, what about the rest of us? You know, I thought the Old Testament was Israel, and the New Testament was for everybody, it's for the church. Well, that's really wrong. That's really wrong. Now, of course, God's purpose for Israel was never just the salvation of Israel. If you recall back in the Old Testament, when the promises were given to Abraham, the father of Israel, the promise was that he would make of him nations, plural, and that Israel later was given the promise from David and others that Israel, the nation, would be a nation above the others, and that God would bless the world, everyone in the world, through the one nation Israel. And so the nation Israel was the channel of blessing, and they were given that privileged position above the other nations. And so this is God's promise to Israel in the Old Testament. Okay. The New Testament simply replaces the Old, because the Old was insufficient, was inadequate to perform that which God promised. So when God promised that Israel would be a nation above the other nations, thus the kingdom of God on the earth, and the other nations could be blessed through them. The old covenant said that you would be this blessing to the world when you kept God's commandments. And we all know today, living under grace, that it's impossible for any of us to keep all of God's commandments. Romans 3, verse 20 and 21 says that. Galatians 2 teaches that. And so we can't keep God's commandments, neither could Israel. And they broke the commandments. And so God promised in that old covenant, saying, when you break these commandments, you know, he'll punish them, of course, according to the contract. But then after that, he said, you know, after these five courses of punishment, I will make you, I will cause you, I will bring you back to the land, and I will give you a better covenant, a new covenant. Now, I'm paraphrasing there. But Jeremiah 31 talks about that. That's what Hebrews 8 is quoting. Jeremiah 31 says he'll bring them back to the land after the tribulation of those days, and after those days he will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, and that new covenant will be able to make Israel a nation above the nations, whereas the old could not. And so there's a lot of theologians who say, well, Israel had their chance and they failed. Of course they failed. But God made them a promise, and the new covenant is how they cannot fail, because the new covenant is God doing it for them through them. And so the new covenant had to be made with them, or else Israel's promises, you know, are of none effect.
So if the New Testament is for Israel, it would be kind of a misnomer to call ourselves New Testament Christians. So what is there left for people today?
Right, right. And that's the question that naturally follows, because if we're not Old Testament, and pretty much all Christians agree with that, except for some Seventh-day Adventists and others who try to follow the Old Testament law, and that's another question. Many Christians say we're New Testament Christians, and that would also be wrong, as the New Testament was made with Israel. And if you go on to read in Hebrews chapter 8, the description of that New Testament, most Christians like to pull out the part where it says Jesus will forgive their sins, or excuse me, it does say Jesus is God, will forgive their sins, and he'll remember them no more. Okay, and of course, Hebrews explains Jesus as that sacrifice for that new covenant and his blood shed for the New Testament, as he said in Luke chapter 22. So they like to take that forgiveness of sins and say, we're forgiven by Jesus as well. And this is true. We're forgiven by Jesus as well. So it's that same blood, the same Christ that forgives us. But how then can we not be under the new covenant? Well, you read the new covenant and what it says, and it's very clear as to what's going on. Not the forgiveness part, but the other parts where it talks about other people knowing the Lord, all men knowing the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 8, in verse 10, he says, after those days I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And so this is not a new thing in Hebrews. This is something that all the Old Testament repeated. Described about Israel, Israel being God's people, and this is a law written in their hearts. So the Old Testament was law written on stones. The New Testament was law written in their hearts. Ezekiel 36, 24 through 26 says that law, that spirit he would give them, would cause them to keep his statutes. And so the law doesn't go away here. The law is just simply taken from an outward stone on the wall to inward in their hearts, so they would have a desire and the means by God's Holy Spirit to keep the statutes that God required them to keep. It says Hebrews 8, verse 10. But if we move on, Hebrews 8, verse 11 says, they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. And this is a tremendous passage talking about Israel in the future, because this definitely does not describe today. Not all of your neighbors know the Lord. And it could be tricky in America, where 80% of the people call themselves Christians, to think, oh, yeah, this is describing America. Well, it's really not. Okay, we don't live in a world where everyone knows the Lord. The verse says, you will not need a teacher. Okay, in Jeremiah 31, you don't need someone to teach other people saying, know the Lord. Well, if you don't need teachers, then what am I doing on the radio? Why are pastors teaching in churches? Why do you have a book to study called the Bible? You know, if this were operating, where God's words were in all of our hearts, and we don't need teachers, we all had these unctions, then we wouldn't need the scripture. We wouldn't need to study it. So again, I'm diverting from your original question, which is, if we're not the New Testament, under the New Testament, then what are we? What is going on today? And the answer to that is this third thing, called the mystery of Christ. We're not under the Old Testament, which was a promise and a prophecy given to Israel. We're not under the New Covenant, which was the better thing for Israel, fulfilled through Christ. Something that won't be complete until Christ returns and brings their kingdom salvation, Romans 11, 27. But what's operating today is a mystery. It's something that was not described in Jeremiah or any of the prophets. It's not found in Deuteronomy or in Genesis. It's something kept secret since the world began, and you find that language in Romans 16, 25, where Paul says To him that is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. And so, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, Paul says that he was given a dispensation of the grace of God given to usward, given to the Gentiles. And this mystery dispensation is the dispensation of God's grace, whereby he's offering salvation freely, without Israel, without covenants, old or new, and without the law, and offered freely to all men. And that salvation, of course, is the preaching of the cross, that Christ died for your sins, he rose from the dead for your salvation, for your resurrection, for your eternal life, and you trust him alone, without works. Titus 3:5 says, it's not by works of righteousness. Romans 4:5, it's to him that worketh not. So without works, you trust what Christ did, his finished work, and that is the gracious work you trust and believe in, and you are saved, Ephesians 1:13 says. And this salvation appoints to you a membership in a new creature that the Bible describes as the church, otherwise called the body of Christ. And this church, the body of Christ, is neither Old Testament Israel, neither is it New Testament Israel. You're no longer a Gentile. The body of Christ consists of neither Jew nor Gentile. You are in Christ by grace through faith in the gospel of Christ. And that's what God is doing today. He's offering grace to a world that's rejected him. And so we're not under the Old Testament, not under the New Testament. We're under this mystery dispensation. And that's why we teach and emphasize so much the Bible rightly divided. We need to rightly divide Old Testament from New Testament from this dispensation of grace. And if you confuse those three things, those ministries, you're going to take the wrong instructions, the wrong applications. And that's one major reason why there's so many questions about the Bible, so many confusions, and so many denominations.
Yeah, it's so important. We're all out of time for questions today, and so if you'd like to have your Bible question answered on Grace Ambassadors Radio, you can visit our website at www.graceambassadorsradio.com and submit your questions there. You can contact Justin directly, and we'll get your question answered on the air.
Now, if you've been listening and been asking yourself, what is this right division? Where do I start? How do I begin? I wrote a book just for you. I wrote a book last year about how to rightly divide, called Start Rightly Dividing. And I want to give you that book for free if you come to my website and give me your mailing address. I want to know if you're listening. So if you're listening, send me your name and your mailing address at graceambassadorsradio.com, and I'll send you a free copy of my book, Start Rightly Dividing. That's graceambassadorsradio.com. Watching Stephen Curry will not make you a basketball player. Neither will sitting in church make you a Christian. So what makes a Christian? It starts with, we're all sinners. And if we could save ourselves, we don't need Christ. But the truth is that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead and offers you eternal life freely. Trust that Christ did everything necessary to save you, then you will be a Christian.
Learn more about real Christianity and the clear gospel by visiting our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.
Curry steps back. It's good!
Want to learn more about Mid-Acts Pauline Bible-believing Christianity? You can listen to all of our programs archived online at graceambassadorsradio.com. But don't just listen. I want your feedback. Go to our website and ask your questions. Tell me what you liked about this program. Tell me if you're confused about the Bible. Tell me how good-looking I am. Or tell me off. Whatever your reaction, I want to hear from you. If you'd rather write me a letter, you can send your questions and comments to P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana. The only Swayze in the world. Our website is graceambassadorsradio.com, and we go to the post office every week to hear from you at Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio. Be sure to join us next week as Pastor Justin Johnson answers questions about the differences between what Jesus taught in the Gospels and what Paul taught with his message of grace, along with how the grace message provides the perfect solution to bad behavior. If you have Bible questions that you would like to have answered on Grace Ambassadors Radio, you can send those questions to us directly from our website at graceambassadorsradio.com. Justin Johnson is the pastor of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship, located just 2 miles south of Swayze, Indiana, where he teaches the Bible rightly divided every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and every Tuesday evening at 7. And don't forget, you can listen to this entire episode and previous broadcasts of Grace Ambassadors Radio by visiting our website at graceambassadorsradio.com.